And we welcome you back to GRN Live, Friday edition, day after Thanksgiving. Hope you had a wonderful, wonderful day yesterday and that you didn't eat too much. This is a pre-recorded show, as I mentioned, but I've got a couple of really great interviews to share with you, both based on Thanksgiving and just being grateful for what we have. Most of us have way more than we deserve. And I got to know a wonderful lady, a convert to the Catholic faith, on my Danube Riverboat cruise. She was there with her 13-year-old son, Levi, and her name is Sonia Corbett. She's known as the Bible Study Evangelista, and if you go put a .com at the end of that, you can find her website, BibleStudyEvangelista.com, and she's a convert to the faith, came into the church back in 2006, the same year that Catholic Radio came to North Texas, where I'm the general manager and executive director. Sonia, good morning. Thanks for joining us today. How you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for the privilege.
Yeah, tell me, I think your story is, I don't know a lot about it, but I'd just like to ask a little bit about yourself. What is an evangelista? Why'd you come into the church? Your just absolute fascination with scripture, which is awesome. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So I did come in 13 years ago. It was a, what I call a perfect storm. There were several, I'm a Southern Baptist convert, so there were several church splits. At the same time, I had a friend who came into the Catholic Church, and I went to her Easter Vigil Mass and was, like, scandalized by that, but intrigued. And at the same time, I was writing my own materials, Bible study materials, and I was doing some study on early church history. And at the same time, God was really doing some formation stuff in me over what I call a father wound. And so all of those things sort of sucked me into the funnel of the Catholic Church, because what I discovered is that Martin Luther also had a father wound, and that's what caused him to split the church. And so because of all of those things at one time, I sort of started doing the research, and it got to the point where, like the book of James says, he who knows what to do and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. And so it got to the point where I knew I had to do it, and if I didn't, I would be in sin. So I just assented, and I came in, although I had an issue or two that I still didn't completely understand. But I was happy to come in, and it was the best thing, really, the very best gift God ever gave me.
No, that's awesome. And you bring a knowledge of Scripture, which, of course, our Protestant brothers and sisters often, you know, obviously they really, really emphasize Scripture. And when somebody comes into the Catholic Church like yourself and brings all the Scripture knowledge with you, what a blessing that is. What is an evangelista, and why did you choose that as kind of your nickname?
I did, because an evangelist in the scriptures is one who shares the gospel according to his point of view. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the rest of the disciples who shared their experience of Christ. And so I'm not a guy, but I do have a point of view. So I tacked an A on the end and made it an evangelista, and that's how that kind of came to be.
Yeah, BibleStudyEvangelista.com is the website. Sonia Corbett is my guest. And I want to get straight into Scripture and Thanksgiving and praise and all this good stuff, since we're celebrating Thanksgiving week and heading into Advent and such a great time of anticipation of Christ's birth. But let me just take a minute or two and ask you about the Danube cruise, because you and I shared that together along with about 45 folks from Guadalupe Radio Network. And I'm still, you know, just buzzing about it. I'm so excited. It had such a great time. What was your biggest takeaway from the Danube Riverboat cruise?
The biggest takeaway for me is how ancient our faith is, which I already knew from a Holy Land trip, but it was so interesting to see it in a Western kind of way. You know, it's very Eastern in the Holy Land, and to see it again in the West, so these magnificent churches. I mean, I have never walked into a cathedral like those. And when we were in Vienna and we walked in, I cried because it was so, and I think that's the point. I think that's what the architects and the craftsmen who worked on that for so many years, that's what they were shooting for, is this complete overwhelm, so that when you walk in, you get this magnificence that really almost, it does almost send you to your knees, and it kind of should if you're, you know, if you're looking at it from the point of view that they would have presented it. So they're trying to convey the magnificence of God, and they're doing it in their own gifts and talents and their own personalities. And that I think was just so overwhelming. There were so many great things, but the sense of history and the sense of rootedness and the sense of beauty that the Catholic Church brings to the world and has sort of been the anchor for the craziness that history goes through, that beauty and the anchor of the Catholic faith has sustained culture up to this point, and she will all the way to the end, according to Christ. So, yeah, it was very overwhelming.
Yeah, very well said. Yeah, that's the St. Stephen's Cathedral in Vienna. That was probably the I mean, there were so many beautiful, beautiful churches, but that's probably the one that stood out the most to me, just like you. I didn't cry, but I was just in awe the entire time. There's so much to take in. And I recommend everybody who's listening, if you haven't been down the Danube, you get an opportunity to visit some of these countries and some of these beautiful, beautiful Baroque and Gothic churches. Please do not miss the opportunity to do so. My guest is Sonia Corbett, convert to the Catholic faith. She is the Bible Study Evangelista, and that's her website, BibleStudyEvangelista.com. And Sonia, the main thing we want to talk about today is, you know, the day after Thanksgiving, we, you know, should have thankful hearts. We want to dig into Scripture, into God's Word. And I just wanted to ask you about maybe pointing us in some direction as far as where in Scripture we can focus on to just learn, I guess, God's word and thanksgiving and praise. Where was the first place you would point us?
I would point the very first place, because it's so concentrated and so full of thanksgiving, is the Psalms. Mm-hmm. And so the word psalm means song, and it's a psalm or a song of thanksgiving and praise. And most of them are written by David, but these are basically his prayer journal. And so he shows us that thanksgiving, I mean, he starts with this big complaint, you know, or a lament, yeah, or, oh my gosh, this is so terrible. What's happening, Lord? But then he always circles back to, but I remember when you rescued us from this. And then he praises God and he thanks God for having rescued him and his people and David and later David's people, you know, as the king. He always circles back to that thanksgiving to remind himself and to remind us. That's what they're in the Scriptures for, I believe, is to remind us that God will always come through. So we should always be thankful. And we should always, when we get into a position where we're scared or we're not sure what's happening, we should always go back and remember all the times that God has been faithful. And we should thank him for those, because that facilitates his rescue in the very moment that we are in that fear.
Yeah. You know, you talk about King David in the Psalms, and I have certainly found a lot of comfort and solace in reading the Psalms. And sometimes I think, okay, they were written by a man, a king, as in David's case, in a particular time in history and his particular concerns. And he had a lot to be concerned about, most of the time running for his life. Do you find that it's easy to transfer his prayers to God and his circumstances to your own life, or any of ours for that matter?
I absolutely do, and the church knows that in her wisdom, which is why she offers them to us every single day in the readings. So we get them, even if we don't have time to read the whole divine office or the all of the readings, we can still read the mass readings, and they have an Old Testament reading, and then that psalm reading, and then the gospel reading every single day. And so that psalm is something that the church keeps in our foremost focus, because she understands and knows that the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and we need it. It's part of the one table, the catechism says, of the Lord. So the one table is the Eucharist and the Scriptures. That's the reason we get both in the Mass. So if we're malnourished in the Scriptures, then we're malnourished in the spiritual life. And so the church presents us with a psalm which almost always include thanksgiving. Every single one of them almost always includes thanksgiving, and we get that every single day.
Yeah.
Part of our spiritual diet.
I know the office of readings, if people do that, contain a lot of psalms. Of course, there's a psalm at every mass. You know, generally, there's a responsorial psalm. How else do you recommend, our listeners incorporating the psalms into their life? Is there any kind of like methodology or program that you use to incorporate these into your prayer life?
There is, and it's called Love the Word. We listen, we observe, we verbalize, we entrust, and we follow Mary's model. She's the one who shared that model with me, because she listens to the Word of God through the angel at the Annunciation. She observes it, and she understands how to interpret it, because she's looking at her own relationships and circumstances. Then she verbalizes back to God what she believes it means in the Magnificat, and then she entrusts God. May it be done to me according to your word. So she gives us the model of how to hear and how to practice that observance of the readings. And so we don't have time, most of us, to do the whole office. They are very intense. And we don't have those vows the way our religious and our priests sometimes do. But we can and we should. We should always, every single day, read the readings of the Mass, because the Mass always have those psalms. They always have the Word of God to each of us in each of our lives and each of our circumstances and each of our relationships on a daily basis. God is speaking to His church every single day. He's speaking to me. He's speaking to you. He's speaking to every single person who is within the sound of my voice on a daily basis in the daily readings, and those include the Psalms.
Yes. You know, most of us, myself included, are not as thankful as we should be. You know, I just think if we really were with it and we understood the entirety of our circumstances, we'd wake up every single morning, we'd jump out of bed with the first word out of our mouth would be, thank you, God, praise you, thank you for this new day. But, you know, life kind of gets in the way. So any thoughts? Most of us are not as thankful as we should be. Why so?
Well, I actually experienced that myself, and I remember asking God, you know, what happened, you know, after I learned that Santa was not real? What happened that there's no day that I wake up now about to just leap out of bed and cannot wait to jump into that day? What has happened between the time we're children and now? And I want that again, Lord, because I know that that's what your scriptures and what Jesus came to give us, that abundant life. So what do I have to do to have that? And what he showed me is, through scripture study, is how many times he came to his people, Solomon, and he said, Solomon, what can I give you? What do you want? And Solomon said, I can think of so many things, but I want wisdom. And God gave him wisdom and everything else besides. And he gave David. David wanted to do something great for God. And God said, you know what, David? I'm going to do something great for you. And Isaiah, he said, Isaiah, ask me for a sign. What can I give you? And Mary, she says, you have done great things for me. And so over and over and over, what I discovered is that God wants us to ask. He asked, and Jesus said the same thing. He said to the mother of James and John, he said, what do you wish? He said to us in John 15, 7 and 11, he says that ask in my name. Ask in my name because your joy will be full, and it will bless and glorify the Father when you receive what you ask for. And the gospel writer, the Apostle John, he says in 1 John 5:14, he says, when we ask according to his will, he will give it to us. And so that means if we are in this daily prayer with the scriptures, we know what to ask, and we know what is according to God's will. And what happens is God answers those prayers, and we're so shocked because we're not specific enough. This is what I learned from God, is you're not being specific enough in your prayer. And you don't have anything specific to be thankful for because of it. So we thank God on Thanksgiving for our families and our health and our jobs, and all that is well and good. But God wants to take it to the daily level where we go to bed saying, man, that was very cool, Lord, what you did today. And you did that. I'm sorry, it makes me emotional because there's so many instances that he has challenged me on that. I remember we've homeschooled our kids for years, and I remember wanting to give them music lessons.
Yeah.
But we couldn't afford it. I mean, we were poor as church mice, and I was staying home with the kids. And I just longed for that because I know how good it is for them. And so I said, Lord, you know, I'm reading this stuff, and I'm like, all right, well, if you really mean it, can you send me a piano? You know, and I just thought how ridiculous it was to even ask. But I took him at his word. And within 2 weeks, my aunt, who was living here in Nashville, was going to move back to South Carolina, and she called me and she said, I have this piano that was my grandmother's. Do you want it? And I was like, are you kidding me? And she
Praise
had
God.
It shipped to my house.
Yeah,
you know, that's just one thing. But when that happens, when you step out in faith and you ask for something because God says, I will give you what you need. And that to me seemed like a need for the kids' education. When you step out and do that and he answers you that specifically, you cannot do anything but just bow down and praise and thank him. It's amazing.
Yeah.
How does he do that?
Yeah, that's cool, because what I hear you saying is that I sometimes think, okay, I can either ask for God for something, or I can thank him, or I can praise him. Like, I got to put it in all these different little boxes. But I think what you're saying is they're all together, right? I mean, when we ask God for things,
it's all one thing.
It's all together. That's a whole different perspective than I thought about. So praise and thanksgiving basically come from the same root, right?
They do. And in fact, 2 Chronicles says that praise confuses the enemy. And so it's important, you know, when those things happen, we should be careful to be reflective. And if we're specific enough in our prayer and our asking, we will be so thankful and so reflective at how amazing it is that God can, how can he time something like a piano?
Yeah.
You know, and in fact, the Mass teaches us to do that. It says, God, please grant us the petitions that you have inspired us to ask. And so the Mass itself teaches us to ask specifically. And when we step out in faith, now that doesn't mean we're going to get everything carte blanche, but it does mean, and Jesus promised, when we ask according to his will, he will give it to us, because he wants to glorify the Father in that way, and he wants to make our joy full. That's how we're joyful, because we've asked specifically, we have thanked God for the miracle that he has performed. Even if it's a small one, it's still miraculous that God could send me a piano for
yeah.
free, you know? I mean, it's amazing. So, yes, that is a take on Thanksgiving that I think will change our whole lives if we think about it on a daily basis. As being part of the readings of the day that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, and then also apply it then to our own lives.
Yeah.
What do I need to do today? What do I need to ask for today?
Yeah, that's amazing. That's a great perspective. Really appreciate it as we celebrate this Thanksgiving week weekend. Sonia Corbett, my guest, is just have a few more minutes remaining with her. BibleStudyEvangelista.com is her website. And I want to give you a chance to let our listeners also know about your Love the Word. We've referred to it a couple of times, but specifically if people want to learn more from you and learn, get to your website or whatever platforms you have, where should they go?
They should go to BibleStudyEvangelista.com, because my latest, well, not my latest book, but my last two books were on Mary. The one back was How to Pray Like Mary. And that's where I outlined the Love the Word process that she shared with me. And she did it because I had such an issue with her. I couldn't connect with her on a personal level. And when I just invited her, you know, I was like, I just don't get it. I don't get you, but I'm, you know, I'm happy to learn if you'll teach me. And what she did was she connected with me on the one level that was so personal and so intimate, really. It kind of blew my mind, because that's where she showed me her own love for the scriptures. And that is an invitation, as well as her Magnificat, which is also a song of thanksgiving.
Yes.
The Magnificat and Love the Word are the two last projects that I completed, and she is inviting us, each of us, on a daily basis to a more intimate relationship with the Word, which is both the Eucharist and the Scriptures. The Word of God is Jesus, the person, but she is specifically inviting Catholics to a more intimate relationship with the Scriptures on a daily basis through the readings of the church. And so all of that on my website is geared toward teaching people how to get in touch with God on a daily basis. Short, you know, the gospel reading takes 5 minutes, and everybody has 5 minutes. And so Love the Word, like, or How to Pray Like Mary, teaches us how to do that. And so I do that through my television show on Catholic TV. I do that through a weekly podcast radio show, which is available there as well. All my books, all my studies, every series is geared toward helping people learn how to do that. And we also do it through our prayer temperaments, what I call fiat, and that's also in How to Pray Like Mary. But
all
everything
right.
is there.
Lots to look at there. So, all right. So over this weekend, everybody visit that website, BibleStudyEvangelista.com. My guest, Sonia Corbett, SonjaCorbett, is her name. And what a great conversation. I appreciate so much speaking with you this morning, Sonia. And hope you have a great beginning to Advent here in a couple of days as well. And hopefully we can talk again very soon. So thanks so much.
Likewise.
And stay tuned, everybody, because we are not even, well, we're just about halfway finished with the GRN Alive on this Friday edition. When we come back, we're going to continue our theme of Thanksgiving, and I'm going to introduce you to a wonderful gentleman that I was so pleased to meet. His name is Ray Serda Jr., and he wrote a book called The Life I Didn't Expect, Facing Adversity and Winning. Imagine becoming a quadriplegic at the age of 16 and living the rest of your life without the use of your hands and your arms and still being a very, very successful person in every way. I'm going to introduce you to this gentleman, and I think he's going to inspire you, as hopefully Sonia inspired you as well. So we'll be right back with more GRN Alive right after this.